This is our service of appreciation, and when I went to name it, I was thinking, I was standing there, and Sandy was saying, we've got to have something for the order of service, and I thought I had it from last year, but I needed to change the title, and so I was standing there, and I said, it can't be more appreciation, but I want to say something about good and how good, having a sense of the good, is really a theological understanding. And we were tossing out names, and then I said, thanks be to good. And Sandy said, that's it. And I said, I'm not sure we can put that on the sign. She said, no, that's the title. So we put thanks be to good on the order of service. Thanks be to God is that liturgical understanding, but it's also good. And where good is a faith statement, it's a statement of where we orient, where I orient to the good. It's a statement of meaning, how I organize, how I orient in my life, that gives me courage, confidence, and generosity in my life. You think about it, the statement of all the religions in the world, the common thing they have together is what? Compassion. And if you don't believe me, go read Karen Armstrong, who knows better than any of us about all this stuff, and that's what she says. And it's compassion. It means caring with. Last Sunday at lunch, I was it was late, and I went to the co-op to get a bite to eat, and I had sat down at a table, finally, in my introverted space after a busy Sunday, you know? And so there was a voice that said, Jim, can I ask you a question? And it was Marcia, who is Ernie Mills' sister, Ernie Mills' minister who's preached here. And Marcia came over, and she said, and Marcia's this person who had her her hair is growing back. She has really thick, curly, wavy hair, and it's grown back to about this long, where she shaved it off as a statement of solidarity with a friend who had cancer and was having radiation treatment. Thanks be to good. And so Marcia said, there was this man in my line, so the checkout line, and he said, I hear that your brother's a minister. And she said, yeah. I said, yeah. And I just said to him, he's a Unitarian Universalist minister. And he said, what's that? And I didn't know what to say. So what should I have said? So here I am at lunch thinking, okay, it's not the elevator speech, it's the checkout line speech. And I said, it depends. It depends on how much you want to get into it at that time. But what I did say to her is that one thing you could say really quick, it's the merger of two traditions, two Christian traditions that came together. And the Unitarians had the understanding of an exalted view of human possibility with Jesus as an exemplar. You could say that. You could say that Universalists believed in one human family, one nature, one origin, one destiny, a loving God, no hell. That means what? Thanks be to good. They oriented their lives around goodness, love, not fear, is what they said. So I did that real quickly, sort of like that, and I said, is that too much? You know? And she goes, no, Jim, that's good. It's with that serious kind of face and the pat on the arm. That's good. Well, I want to take you then to this Thursday, and this is where I'll sit down because I'm still feeling emotional about it, but we were preparing this order of service, and you can see the service. There was the juxtaposition of the children up here singing. And then there were our graduating seniors being sent out into the world. And then there were their relatives who were here. And in my mind was the canticle of the sun. For the earth forever turning. You know, and just going in all those words in my mind. And I was asking Catherine across the hall about changes and whether we're going to do this and musical reflection, this, that, and the other. And all of a sudden, I just got this catch in my throat and tears in my eyes. Why? It was 2:10. And at 3 o'clock, America was going to pull out of the Paris Climate Accords. Why was I so sad? Well, I've talked to you about that before. But climate change is real. And there we were, sitting with children, grandchildren, honoring them. And we all need to be climate activists at this point for our children, for our grandchildren. There I was sitting and singing in my head, what? For the beauty of the earth. Nature, human and divine. And then I was sad for my country, for how I've grown up, understanding this place. Now, you can argue that that was an illusion and all of that, but it's still in my bones and how I understood it. And it was also for this vision of world community, cooperation for common good. We sing about world peace. How does that come about? By getting together at the table. It's an imperfect table. This is an imperfect congregation. But what do? We gather in covenant. We make promises to try to do something good. If you open your hymnal, and this is the point of this, open it to the front. Open it to principles and purposes, because I ask myself, what is this all about? And open to those and just start reading through them. It says in the beginning, we covenant. That means we make an agreement. From our diverse places of our lives, we make agreements. And just go on down there. But look at the last two. The goal of world community with peace, liberty, and justice for all. Respect for the interdependent web of all existence of which we are a part. And then you go down and look at the bottom. Living tradition we share draws from teachings which counsel us to heed the guidance of reason and the results of science and warn us against idolatries of the mind and spirit. I was sad for how it had affected my vision of how I want to be in the world. You think about that. You think about those faith particulars and how they come together. They come together with a sense of common good. They come together one human family, one nature, one origin, one destiny. They come together in a larger world that says we're all in this together and we have to figure out how to cooperate, how to be in the beginning, it says, in covenant. So you can make arguments of imperfect and all of that and get into those details and all of that. But just come back to that larger sense. But then at the end, as I then got into hearing about it and reading about it, the conclusions always were that there are businesses, there are states, there are people, there are time where we're going to be even stronger about and more committed to how we're going to be climate activists. How we're going to make those visions real. And I would encourage you to go back to the principles and purposes. So as we experience today, I think appreciate this service for what it was and what was in it and all of the pieces. We didn't plan this. They just came together like this for us. I mean, we did plan it once we had it, but as far as touching this. So it's thanks. Thanks be to good. Thanks be to good. Turn to 436, because it came to my mind as I was walking across. and it says why we gather. It's by David Pohl, who was the director of ministry for a long time. We come to this time and this place to rediscover the wondrous gift of free religious community, to renew our faith in what? The holiness, goodness, and beauty of life, to reaffirm the way of the open mind and full heart, to rekindle the flame of memory and hope, and to reclaim the vision of an earth made fair with all her people one. So I woke this morning, and I should have put that earlier, but I woke this morning to the news of the terrorist attack in London. And then you go, how can you talk this way? But I was sitting there in my house where I had slept soundly, where I got up to breakfast, and I listened to the birds sing, and I didn't feel threatened in that morning. And I sat there on this Appreciation Sunday, and I appreciated it. I felt it. I didn't take it for granted. And I realized that that's so special and so cherished, and how to make it real. Thanks be to God. An earth made fair, and all her people one. Thank you so much for being here today.